of folks health conscious is if you, you look for things that have just a few ingredients. If it's a whole page of long word ingredients, look out.
Yeah, well, that's a good rule of thumb, but you know, soy protein isolate or hydrolyzed vegetable protein, I forget what, you know, a lot of this stuff is got, and it, the best way probably is to skip down to the allergy information. You can read on the bottom there, contains, you know, soy, wheat, milk, peanuts, or it's made in a factory that does. If you're trying to avoid these estrogen-mimicking chemicals, that is a shortcut in one sense. But I think you, most people should consider going gluten-free, mainly because they're spraying the wheat with Roundup.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, this is known to cause tumors in rats. They're spraying the wheat.
Some nice news. Yeah, some nice news, OS, is that the some states have banned Roundup already. And is it Monsanto that makes the Roundup?
Well, I think it's went generic, so there may be more companies than them making it because I think their patent has ran out. That's why another reason why they're looking at 2,4-D, which is a component of Agent Orange. They've got 2,4-D corn and soy out there now, so they can spray that on them.
Yeah. All right. This is a good update. I appreciate your update on macaroni. I do buy the Annie's organic macaroni for my daughter, and so I'm going to check more closely. I like these companies like Annie's that offer better products. I will check into that one, and I'm going to go. You know, your opening comment, Wes, was on the Boy Scouts. I looked up the. Mike, sorry. I tell you, it's been a long weekend. I apologize. I think it's. And by the way, folks, if I slurred my speech or anything during today's broadcast, let me tell you, that's why. It's been a long weekend. I looked up the Boy Scouts. I'm sorry.
You sound fine. There's an echo.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like you're in a hallway now, but that's okay.
I am. There is an echo in here. There is an echo in here, and I am in an empty hall with no people, no bodies anymore absorbing the sound. Let me look it up here. The scouting organizations. Now, is it Life Trails? Life Trails?
Trail Life USA
Trail Life.
Is the official name.
Trail
They're headquartered in Belton, South Carolina.
Yeah, Trail Life USA, that's it. I had it just a moment ago, now I've got it back. Let's look at the comparison, folks. Trail Life USA and the Boy Scouts. Let's just compare it here. This is pretty important. The Boy Scouts especially. We'll come right back with a comparison of the Boy Scouts, huge, and this new organization, Trail Life USA. Stay with us, Mike.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterow II with the Ralph Winterow Show, coming to you live out of Alaska on a beautiful day in Alaska. Sun is out and we're running 61 or so, so we're nice, cool weather and sunny, clear. I think John Thornton may be calling in about he's been going to the banks to try to open a banking account. And he's got some very interesting experiences about these banks that do not want to show you the signature card, yet they want you to sign up for something that you don't even get to see before you sign it. Now, does this make logical sense? That's what they're doing, most of them. He did get some of them to give him the signature card, so we'll wait and see till he comes on here. So I don't want to steal his thunder, and we'll talk about that issue when he gets here. I want to talk briefly again about Rodney Klaas's case. That is a very important case. It was taken by a law firm that has about 70 lawyers in New York that does pro bono stuff, which I didn't realize they had. There was that big of law firms that actually did a lot of pro bono work. But looks like they pick out certain constitutional issues and proceed after them. So that's good, I guess. Well, actually is, because his got accepted, Rodney Klaas, which was where he had put some weapons in a car and he was within the supposed, I guess, 1,000 feet or something of where he was headed, was unposted, and supposedly somebody saw, one of the cops saw a holster or something, and they searched his car. I don't know if he gave him permission or not, but anyway, they ended up charging him with a crime because you're not supposed to have firearms in that limited window of 1,000 feet. So that was interesting. So he ended up, after all this stuff, he did a lot of stuff. Like I talked about last Sunday, he did a lot of that. All caps name and a lot of these other issues that, even though true, you will never get anywhere with them. They're only subsidy. Very, got to get, understand who these courts are and what they're about. That D.C. court, of course, is not a constitutional court in any stretch of the imagination, because it's a general jurisdictional court, not a limited jurisdictional court, because it does not arise under Article 3, Section 2, because that's only for the federal courts in the several states, within the several states' boundaries, not within the District of Columbia. And there's court, there's cases on that that said they got no authority to be doing this stuff. But the problem that we run into is that these attorneys, most of them will not go there. There's some of them that are fighting them. Judicial Watts and some of these other ones that are fighting a good fight. There are some areas that they won't go. And that's where I have been trying to fill in, and with the people that want to fight. It is so monumental, it shocks the conscience. But if they've got us to believing these things as true, and unfortunately a lot of the Patriot community, or almost all of it, does not have access to Westlaw or Lexis. And a lot of these statements just get running around amongst the Patriot movement, and they sound good. But the bottom line is, it doesn't really make a lot of difference what you and I believe. It's what we can prove. And with Westlaw, and or Lexis, I don't know Lexis anymore, but Westlaw used to be when I had both of them. Westlaw had more resources, access, than Lexis did. Law side, Lexis was more into the newspapers, and they had a lot of stuff like that that Westlaw didn't have. Well, I really don't give a rat's rump about all that nonsense, because liars anyway. But this is really an important issue, and nobody's doing it. We are in the Matrix. Our republic has been overthrown, and all we got to do is, just like in the V for Vendetta, which I've watched several times, the problem is you and me. We did it, and we continue doing it. And they elect idiots like Maxine Waters. That was I don't know how these people, I have no idea how somebody like her gets elected. But, of course, California, the land of fruits and nuts and liberals and illegals. But she was questioning the Secretary of the Treasury, I think it was. And she'd ask him a question, and she kept saying, "Reclaim my time! Reclaim my time!" He wouldn't let him answer the question. "Reclaim my time!" And then she'd ask the question, "Reclaim my time!" And then she finally provided her own answer, "Reclaim my time!" What is wrong with these people? They won't even give the guy a chance to answer the question. She's a lunatic. And she tries, because she's black, to use the racist card. Everything is racist to some of these people. I am so fed up with that nonsense. I don't understand why they don't go to 42 United States Code, 1981 to 1982. Citizens of the United States have the same rights as white citizens. Do you think that is a little bit racist? It's codified. Yeah, they have the same rights as white citizens. Duh. 1866. Memorialized in the 14th, and then, of course, in 1870, they got around, Congress had an epiphany, said, "Oh, you know, we can naturalize all them black folk. They'd be just like white folk. No difference." But, of course, we've already got our fictional status set up. I don't understand why people can't see this stuff. It's black and white. It's in the statutes. I can read it. It's even online, the statutes of the United States. I think Beecraft had something to do with putting that on. He got them from a guy in Florida that bought those, and they put them out on the Internet. If you search, you can find this stuff, or you can read the codifications of it. But anyway, in dealing with Klaus's case, he brings up, like I say, it has got accepted by the Supreme Court of the United States because of this law firm. I think if he had written it, well, one, he wouldn't have the research abilities, because obviously it's a very powerful law firm, and they know how to do a lot of this stuff that the average guy, how are you going to know to do this stuff unless you do it? Of course, the first thing that I looked at is United States of America. United States of America, Rodney Klaus versus United States of America, respondent. Writ of certiorari. Now, the writ of certiorari, back up until about, I think it was 1984, they weren't discretionary. And all of a sudden, they said, well, you know what? We really don't need to listen to all these issues of law anymore and settle them. We'll just pick and choose. So now there's a very, very low percentage of issues of law that ever get decided by the Supreme Court. They're basically social engineering at their discretion. The sad part is, or the unfortunate part is, that we don't get to see in PACER, a PACER, which is a government-provided means to pay 10 cents a page, has all of the United States District Court stuff, has all of the appellate courts, but it doesn't go into the Supreme Court of the United States. Why is that? Why do they not give us access? So we never get to see all of the writ of certiorari's that are denied, which I get my home page up. That's one of the things I'm going to try to figure out. I got to keep working on that. Me and that guy can't seem to get together. But is to make those available. I'd like to see what some of these people are filing. Then the Supreme Court says we don't want to decide. And then, of course, like in Rodney Klaus's, I haven't checked today, but they hadn't put his case up yet. Even though there's the pleadings that are in, there are a couple of amicus curiae, friends of the court, that are in favor, supporting his position of the attorneys that are representing him. But the Supreme Court doesn't even have its own homepage to show that they go over to the American Bar Association. So it's at their discretion when and what and if they want to post what they want to post. Now, do you think there is something wrong with this picture? Why do we? These are supposed to be public cases. That court up there is supposed to be a case for the laws of the United States. So we can see, we the people, citizens of the several states, can see what the heck is going on. And we can't see. Somebody had posted Rodney Klaus's stuff on the Internet, so I got to see some of the friends of the court briefs and stuff, the cases that were there. What is the issue that is so important with Rodney Klaus's case? Now, of course, they got him to plead guilty. For whatever reasons, I don't know why he pled guilty, but he did. That's something between him and them, so... He gets guilty, so that's fine. But he, I don't know whether he did it himself or was advised or anyway, but he made it very clear that anything that wasn't in the guilty plea, if it wasn't written down in there, nobody could add it after the fact. He was very explicit on that, which is a very good thing if you're doing a guilty plea, which means I can admit, just like he did he have guns? Yes. Was he in violation of a statute or constitutional law? He reserved that. That was not part of what he signed up for as a guilty plea. It's called factual guilt. He had guns. So that's not the problem. So anyways... Well, I guess we're going to break, so we'll be back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here, and I think John is trying to call in here. He's having some trouble for some reason getting an answer at Republic Broadcasting. So I'll continue on here with Rodney Klass until he calls in. But he's got a... The issue he's bringing up is clean, and that is really good because he had a good stipulation. and his plea when he did the guilty thing. Like I say, I don't know if he was advised or if he did it himself. I don't know how that worked because I don't know the man. I looked at his stuff initially and. What he was doing was not something that, where some of the things he was doing was not something I was interested in. There's, like I say, all this cap name and all that other stuff. Been there, done all that, and researched it out, and it's not true, but you're not going to win. So anyway, with that said, he got this attorney firm to take it, which is really great. Because he's got an excellent question. And what is the question? Anybody that's ever been to the Supreme Court, which I have several times, of course, we've never got any of them accepted, even though they're too hot to handle. And, of course, pro ses aren't really appreciated in the appellate courts or in the Supreme Court because they want attorneys. We're of the lower class, and we're not supposed to know what we're doing, I guess. So anyways, what is the question? You have to present a question to the Supreme Court of the United States. And the question is whether a guilty plea inherently waives a defendant's right to challenge the constitutionality of the statute of conviction. That's an important issue. Because there's no doubt that he's what's called factually guilty. They found weapons in his car. Or guns, firearms, whatever the terminology is. Because there's another whole can of worms with that. And what is the terminology of what is a weapon, what's a firearm, what's a gun, and assault weapons, and all that. It's a word game. That's the first thing that most people that haven't done this for a while, and I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but I tell you what, I have learned the hard way. Read very, very carefully what they write and how you deal with it. The world of law is built on terms. There are definitions given to words that are unique to the legal world. And even more importantly, all starting from your lowest traffic citations to your codes for your cities, your boroughs, your counties, your states, the IRS, they all give words a new meaning. And they're called terms. And anytime the word means is used, that's the exclusive use. It is a re-limited definition of a word. And that's one of the very first things if you're fighting any traffic citation, anything, is to look up all of the terms. Some of them will be court defined. A lot of them are statutorily defined. And the statutorily defined ones are killers. If the IRS obeyed the term definitions, of which there are at least 841 in just Title 26, they would leave you and me alone. They have no authority. Zero, zip, nada. The only authority they gain is by us agreeing to step into their world. But unfortunately, the problem that we have, all of these states are basically political subdivisions of United States of America. This thing, which I'm working on getting it out of PACER, which is going to take me a while. I've got 109 cases. There's more than that. I don't have access to some of them. And other court cases. United States of America is a sovereign body politic in complaints from the Department of Justice. But guess what they do not do at the local levels? They never put in that they're a counsel for United States of America. They never file that. They never represent at the lower levels that they're representing United States of America, a sovereign body politic. Now, I would like to have, that is a killer. How did we end up, who is United States of America, a sovereign body politic? And I am tying it in with some of these that have gone to the appellate court, like one of them I got the Fourth Circuit, where it calls it the government. So the government is United States of America, a sovereign body politic. Now, I'd like to have somebody explain to me, where in the holy heck did that come from? Not the Constitution of the United States. There initially was the Articles of Confederation, United States of America.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles? Improved vision? Improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Well, we're back from break here, and we've got John Thornton. You on the line, John?
I'm here, Ralph. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you tell us about what you've been trying to do with the banking system that is in Minnesota, trying to open an account and what you've been running into?
Yeah, well, if you remember last week, I discussed my experience at the one bank where the gal kept going round and round with me about, you know, denying the fact that, when I asked, so are you telling me you're not opening an account for a non-U.S. person? I didn't say that, she would reply. And then she would, of course, say, well, you have to sign the form as is, which says on there explicitly, U.S. person, wouldn't permit alteration. So I tried to explain to her what a logical fallacy loop she was caught in and how she was engaging in subornation of perjury, trying to get me to sign it under perjury. And she eventually hung up on me. I've visited several other banks in Minnesota, and all their signature cards, one bank refused to give me their signature card, said it was proprietary and not their policy to print out a blank signature card. And I said, well, that seems rather odd. You want me to fill it out? You want to fill it out for me and then do what's called an electronic signature, and then you'll let me see it after I agree to it, which is insane. I tried to point out the absurdity of their statement by grabbing a blank piece of paper, writing some gibberish on it, and then a quick juret perjury statement at the bottom, put my hand over the substance of what I'd written, and said, here, sign this. When you sign, I move my hand away, and you can see what you agreed to under perjury. And a couple of them kind of sheepishly got it, but many of them just looked at me and blinked like they didn't know what I was talking about. So, I ran into similar experiences in that I was given, for the banks that I was given, their signature card. They all have this statement on it, and I'll read the statement verbatim. Let me get to the appropriate part here. Okay. Under the penalties of perjury, I certify that the number shown above is my correct taxpayer identification number, and this is the important part. Two, that I am a citizen, a U.S. citizen, or other U.S. person defined in the instructions, and three, check the appropriate box. So the one bank, I went back in and asked them for the instructions, because it just says the appropriate, you know, check the instructions when it talked about U.S. person, and then in parens, right after U.S. person, it puts in parens, defined in the instructions. So I said, went back and said, can I have the instructions that your form talks about in regards to U.S. person? Well, one bank looked at it. She couldn't figure it out, so she went and talked to somebody higher up, I guess. A couple other key people came drifting out, and they were just kind of concerned and act worried and odd. And finally, this one boss-looking lady comes out with a W-9 form and said, here's the instructions. I said, oh, okay, it's a W-9. Okay, it doesn't say that in your form. Well, that's the instructions it's referring to. Okay, so I took that. Went to another bank, and it had the exact same language in it. As a matter of fact, a couple of these signature forms are from the same source. It's a signature card, MN, Bankers System, VMP, Walters Kluwer Financial Services. So it's it appears to be a general form that they adopt and they throw their name at the top of. But on different from the form I just discussed, these two bank forms have the same language in them regarding U.S. person and instructions, and it's important to note that one of the banks, when I went back in, of course, and asked for the instructions that we were referring to, they discussed it amongst themselves, couldn't figure out what was meant by that, and then one of them says to me, well, you should go ask the government. I thought to myself, why would I do that? This is your signature card. Why? What government is it you want me to go to and ask what is meant by the instructions? So they actually called the main branch of this one bank, the corporate headquarters, and asked, well, what instructions are being referred to when it says U.S. person and then in parents as defined in the instructions? Even they didn't know. So, but in these forms, it's interesting because it does leave latitude, because at the top, under backup withholding certifications, in parens, and it says, and I state and I repeat, if not U.S. person, certify foreign status separately. So two of the signature cards have that contained in the verbiage underneath the signature. So it does have an option for, if you're not a U.S. person, if you're foreign to the U.S., if you're foreign to U.S. person, all it says is certify foreign status separately, which I would assume would be the publicly filed self-authenticating evidence status document. So that's going to be my follow-up, to follow up with them with the status document to see if, in fact, they will not to discriminate against a non-U.S. person and open a non-interest-bearing account. So,
did you get their attention when you mentioned the word discrimination?
Absolutely. Each and every one of them, when they acted very hesitant to answer questions like that, I said, well, you guys don't discriminate against non-U.S. persons. Oh, no, no. They fell all over themselves. Absolutely not. We would never do something like that. No. No, as a matter of fact, if you look on their form, and the ones that didn't have the form, oh, no, no, that's not the case. We make allowances for that. But the ones that had that exception on their bank card form pointed to that and saying, if you're not a U.S. person, you know, just provide us with a certification of foreign status separately, and we'll be happy to open a a bank account for you. Absolutely, we do not discriminate. I said, okay, great, thanks very much. And I walked out. So what I tend to do, tomorrow is send certified letters to all three banks, kindly thanking them for their time, supplying them with the documents they're looking for non-U.S. person, and asking them to acknowledge that they will, in fact, open an account and to respond to me in writing. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, all of them, when I mentioned the discrimination word, boy, that got their attention immediately. And they insisted, of course, oh, absolutely not. We would never discriminate, ever.
Well, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
They don't want to discriminate, huh?
No. So they say. So they say. But
the
one thing
is, nobody seemed to know what's going on. We're like a little bunch of zombies. We just got a form and you do it and.
Right.
Nobody knows what this stuff means. Just sign up.
Well, one of them, the one bank I went into where they wouldn't give me the signature card, and he said, well, where were you born? I said, Minnesota. He says, well, then you're a U.S. person. I said, I'd be careful of that term. Are you familiar with that term? Oh, absolutely. I said, okay, great. So I pre-made up a form. I typed it myself. And I said, could you read this and sign it? And basically what it says, that you swear that you have personal knowledge of the facts that I'm a U.S. person, as a citizen of Minnesota, that I am of the class U.S. person, and that you will submit to deposition or cross-examination under perjury, penalty of perjury, and provide the facts, personal knowledge and facts that you have to support your conclusion. He said, I can't sign that. I said, well, then why are you asking me to? You seemed so sure before, but now that I put a form in front of you, you don't seem too sure. And, of course,
isn't that amazing?
It becomes the Stanford prison experiment where they point to the guy in the white coat and said, oh, it's a guy. Ask him. I'm sorry, the Milgram experiment out of Philadelphia. Yeah, it's interesting to watch. They blink and their eyes dilate like they know there's just something not right about what they're saying, but they've been so conditioned and everybody just follows along in this very 1984-esque way that they don't question it. And when you get somebody asking them just very basic questions, they lock up. But the hilarious part about the instructions. So what I did do, and I forgot to mention this to you, I did follow up with the ones that couldn't define what instructions they were talking about. And I actually went to an IRS office, and I showed them the form. I said, well, this bank says that you guys would know. And they looked at the form. They said, this isn't our form. Why would we know? I said, well, they said, talk to somebody in the government. Think it's not our form. We can't help you. So they will be getting added information to their letter in regards to their suggestion. I, quote, go to the government and ask them what's meant by the word instructions, as per the instructions on their signature form. And that's another thing that just flabbergasted me, Ralph, is when I said, why would I go to them when this is your signature card? This is your bank. Yes. It says per instructions under U.S. person. See instructions. Yet you don't know what instructions is talking about, and it's your signature card. And they look at you, and they just blink. They don't know what to say. But they look at you like you're asking something so very odd. You know, and one of them said, well, it is. And one of them said they had to read it. Well, where did, it doesn't say that on there. It actually does, and I pointed it to them, and they just stopped and went, well, I don't know. And this is the branch manager. Well, I don't know. I don't know what it means by instructions. Let's call the main corporate branch. Talk to the head cheese there. Had no idea what was meant by instructions. On their form. That they want you to sign electronically without ever looking at it. You know, and even though I did, one bank was very forthcoming. So, oh, sure, we can print you out a blank one. The rest of them, they sit there, well, I can't print out one unless I put something in there. I said, well, isn't it just a PDF? Can't you just pull it up, blank, and print it out? That doesn't make any sense. You have to put information in. Well, let me just type some gibberish in, and then when I print it, I'll write it out. I'm just like, well, that's insanity. And I think we talked about it a little bit, but explain to people, why are they so insistent upon electronic signatures? That never used to be the case, but boy, howdy, they sure want it now. They want to sit there and ask you questions and fill in this form you can't look at and have you sign it electronically, which I don't even know what that means when you sign something electronically. I don't think I've ever done that. I don't even know what it means. I don't know how you can sign something or have something be binding under electronic signature. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's an impossibility.
It defies
all logic.
Right. It is complete, and there is no logic to it. But people don't seem to operate on logic anymore, and they just look at you and blink, and until you start dumbing it down to levels of absurdity that finally, you know, clicks with them, they're just, what's the problem? Well, everybody knows who a U.S. person is. Oh, okay. Well, great. You define what it is, and then you sign it, and then it'd be your responsibility to support it down the line. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Well, then you're not sure then, are you?
Right.
And they also don't like, you know, I'm sure the bank would never engage in subornation or perjury. They didn't like that either, in addition to the notion of discrimination. You wouldn't have me sign something that wasn't true, especially in a perjury. Oh, no, absolutely not. And you certainly wouldn't discriminate against someone that wasn't a U.S. person. Oh, no, absolutely not. Well, now they're caught. Which poison is it going to be? Discrimination.
While we were talking here, I got around and I looked up under finance. This is in Title 31. Regulations now.
Okay.
And it has to do with Iranian transactions and sanctioned regulations, general definitions, but it was found in one of these court cases. The term United States person or U.S. person means. Anytime the word means is used, that's the exclusive use of those word or words. It's given a whole new meaning, nothing to do with the dictionary, nothing to do with what you and I think it means. It says any United States citizen, comma, permanent resident alien, comma, entity organized under the laws of the United States or any jurisdiction within the United States, including foreign branches, or any person in the United States. Now, what the holy heck is all that about?
They're using fictions as definitions for fictions.
Yep, they are.
So then you've got to go in and find the meaning of the explanation for the word that you thought you were getting a definition for.
Now, some of them, if I remember, said they used the W-9, didn't they?
When they said instructions, it took three or four people, but this one woman came out with a W-9. I said, what's that? So that's the instructions you were asking for. Well, I said, well, I'm looking at your form. It doesn't say anything about a W-9. It just says defined in the instructions. Are you telling me that that's the instructions being referenced in this form? She said, yes. I said, why doesn't it say that verbosely? I don't know. Okay.
Well, first of all, a form definition is worthless, as our pamphlet definitions. They are worthless. They have no meaning at all.
Right.
No force and effect create, no obligation in law. The courts have ruled over and over. You read a pamphlet from the IRS, you read a form, it is nonsense. It's irrelevant. Yep. It doesn't mean one damn thing.
Until you fix your signature to it.
It says here, the definition in the W-9, definition of U.S. person for federal tax purposes. Now, amazing, there would be something unique just for tax purposes.
Right.
Do I have more than one just for tax purposes? I'm something else? Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yep.
It says, you are considered. We're going to consider you, John, a U.S. person if you are, one, an individual who is a U.S. citizen or U.S. resident alien. Two, a partnership, corporation, company, association created or organized in the United States or under the laws of the United States. Three, an estate other than a foreign estate or a domestic trust as defined in a regulation they gave us. Does any of those have application to you?
No.
Isn't that amazing? Now, they're using a form. Now, in some of the court cases I looked up, U.S. person means to go to 26 U.S.C. 7701. There are term definitions used, which is a killer. If they use the term definitions in 26 U.S.C. 7701, guess what? You and me would be, we would be out of this whole mess if we understood who we are.
Right.
They say go to 26 U.S.C. 7701 A30. Oh, back in a minute. I have a term definition here.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here. There are some very interesting things. There is one constitutional part in the definitions that these political subdivisions, these states, everybody is a citizen of the United States, which I've talked about before. The Supreme Court has held there is no right to vote. There's no right for a citizen of the United States to do anything. A citizen of the United States is to remain dormant. Only if the state law or the state actors get out of hand. They then will give you the character of a citizen of the United States. Congress can't reach you and me as a citizen of one of the several states, because these are all foreign little countries. They're all foreign to each other. they're supposed to remain dormant. These states have taken on to be a political subdivision of, I guess, the United States of America, because they're enforcing the same federal income tax laws that are only for citizens of the United States. And those, they don't belong to anybody. There's no provision in the Constitution of the United States under territories, the District of Columbia, or anything. They just made the damn thing up because it sounds so deliciously correct. They have, in the Title 26, 7701, and if you're fighting these guys, you always want to use taxable year. We're going to have Curtis on. He went before the North Carolina folks. Same problem that John is running into. Oh, no, no, nothing. I'm not going to talk about that. That's your opinion. That's all. It's on around and around. It's so illogical. The constitutional provision in Title 26 that they will not, they cannot touch. A16, withholding agent, the term withholding agent in quotation marks means any person. That's defined. Individuals, fictions, whatever. Required to deduct and withhold any tax. There are five subtitles of taxes. Subtitle A, income. Subtitle B, estate. Subtitle C, employment taxes. There is no such thing as wages and getting a deficiency letter. It's an impossibility. It says so right in the frickin' damn code. Subtitle D, that's some excise nonsense, and Subtitle E is ATF, all that stuff, alcohol, firearms, and tobacco, so unless you've got a still or something, doesn't have any bearing on you. It says the withholding agent, any person required to deduct and withhold any tax under the provisions of, and it lists four of them. They're all Subtitle A, income taxes. 1441, non-resident alien, 1442, foreign organization, 1443, I'm sorry, 1442 is a foreign corporation, 1443 is a foreign organization, and 1461 is a hold harmless. If you're not one of those three, you can sue the people that are required to withhold money and give it to the Internal Revenue criminals. But let's go down and get back to what John was dealing with. That's the constitutional part. They never want to talk about withholding agent because they can't. But kill, what the heck is they're doing? So let me find here. United States person. Let's see, it's number 30 here. Lost it here. Where did it go? Ooh. Let me do another find here. United States. Here it is, number 30. Whoops. Well, I'll be darned. Me and my, I'm getting my, okay, here it is, number 30. Getting my cataract operation August 8th. United States person, the term United States person means a citizen or resident of the United States. Are you any one of those, John?
I'm not, no.
Now, we know the term definition of a... Well, hold on. We'll be back in a minute.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.